Hello, and welcome back to Climate Changes Everything. This is episode 4, So Many Hats. Last time, we started to explore the necessary complexity of greenhouse gases at both the planetary and the local scale. In this episode, I want to begin to explore electric power generation so that we are prepared for a subsequent and profoundly important journey into the electric power system as a whole. Why electric power, you might be asking? After all, in episode 2, we were gathered around a cozy campfire 1 million years ago with our Homo erectus ancestors, silently wishing that marshmallows had been invented. And then on to ancient Egypt, where marshmallows actually were invented. Why then are we already focused on the very modern topic of electricity here in episode 4? Simply put, because electricity is the pivot for sustainability. Electricity is the key to slowing the pace of and hopefully halting or even reversing climate change. Put it on t-shirts, on coffee mugs, on billboards, and on bumper stickers. Electricity is the pivot for sustainability. Before I jump into the why behind that big statement, I need to pause for a deep breath and recognize a prime opportunity for overly optimistic podcaster syndrome, or OOPS as we now know it. The topic of electricity is complex and fascinating, and truth be told, a giant and inviting rabbit hole for me. Just ask any of my kids, or my wife, or anyone else who has started a conversation with me that I can't seem to finish. So, without that deep breath, it would be very easy for me to spend the next 2 dozen or so episodes of Climate Changes Everything exploring every utterly fascinating nook and cranny of electricity. The physics, the infrastructure, the industry, the deal-making, the policy environment, the regulatory schemes, the personalities, the technologies and innovations, and so on. In different ways and on different timelines across the U.S., and in even more different ways and timelines around the world. You get the picture. It would probably be more than 2 dozen episodes, realistically speaking, and I would have to retitle this podcast Electric Obsession or something, not what you signed up for. So here's my goal. Provide enough context and explanation to support the climate changes everything discussion and not an electric obsession discussion without losing the non-expert listener, while simultaneously keeping the expert listeners from losing their minds in a chorus of buts and accepts and whatabouts, and hopefully coming away with a couple of new ideas and perspectives too. I would greatly appreciate your feedback on how well I maintain this balance, and of course, on the rest of Climate Changes Everything as well. With that out of the way, let's get into the story. And what I mean by the episode title, So Many Hats. For most of the 150 odd years that humans have been generating and using electricity as a widespread form of energy, that electricity has been a primary driver of economic growth and all the benefits of that growth for humanity. That's electricity's hero story. At the same time, electricity generation has released an extraordinary amount of air, water, and soil pollution and greenhouse gases into our finite environment, with all the associated detriments, both for humanity and the planet. That's electricity's villain story. Both good guy and bad guy, hero and villain, white hat and black hat. Even anti-hero, an anti-villain for the more literary or cinematically inclined. Call that the gray hat. All of it, right from the start. Even though it took us a little longer to see the gray and black hats, the more negative aspects, amidst all the benefits, all those white hats. That's a lot of different hats, and I say that as a bald guy whose baseball hat collection is never quite big enough. Today and going forward, electricity plays an even more varied and crucial role, still wearing all three of those hats in this age of climate change. Why is that? First, as we're about to see, burning fossil fuels to produce electricity has and continues to produce a massive amount of GHG and pollutants. Second, electricity demand tends to grow as our economies and populations grow, resulting in the need for more and more electricity over time, both for basic needs like lighting, as well as increasing aspirations for life-enhancing electric things like air conditioning. Third, rising temperatures mean that air conditioning, cooling, will quickly go from life-enhancing to life-sustaining in many parts of the world. More cooling capacity in more places being operated more often to cool even hotter outside air to comfortable levels. You'll note that the only aspect of that equation that doesn't have a more in front of it is the last part, comfortable temperature levels. So that cooling gap keeps getting bigger, even as outside air temperatures increase. Therefore, a lot more electricity. But wait, it gets worse, or at least more acute. At the same time, the recent surge in renewable electricity development means that we are now displacing an increasing amount of GHG-rich electricity with GHG-free electricity while we are electrifying more and more of our world. We're just getting started, in fact, as we increasingly use electricity in place of fossil fuels in everything from space heating and space cooling, air conditioning, to automobiles and all sorts of transportation, even air travel. Great progress, but we are creating more and more of the problem that we are simultaneously trying to solve. Plus, the knock-on effects of climate change. Wildfires are a great example, but only one of many, that add even more GHG and other pollutants to the global GHG equation. In other words, more GHG means more climate change, means more wildfires, means more GHG, which means more climate change, means more wildfires. You get the picture. So the finish line keeps retreating into the distance as a result of all that growth in populations, economies, and need, no longer want, for life-sustaining cooling, multiplied by the extraordinary progress of electrification. That's the remarkable framework for the world's relationship with electricity. As I mentioned, that relationship started in earnest about 150 years ago. But awareness of electricity goes way back in human history, thousands of years ago. The ancient Egyptians were writing about the electric fish they encountered in the Nile, perhaps while picking marshmallow plants for their recently invented marshmallows. We'll never know. But electricity remained a curiosity until about 1600 AD, when scientists started working out the connections between electricity and magnetism. Things really got moving in the 18th century. Remember Benjamin Franklin flying his kite in an electrical storm, ahead of an absolute frenzy of innovation in the late 19th century, with names like Tesla, Edison, Westinghouse, Siemens, Graham Bell, and many, many others. No longer a curiosity, electricity soon became, and remains, an essential component of societies and economies around the world. Back then, generating electricity was relatively simple, either burning fossil fuels or capturing the power of water. Before we get any further, I want to briefly explain how that works. Let's start with traditional fossil fuels like coal and oil. In a utility scale, aka big, fossil fuel power plant, coal or oil is fed more or less continuously into a boiler. A boiler is basically a very big metal box. Many are hundreds of feet tall, so a very, very big metal box. Inside the walls of the box are floor-to-ceiling metal tubes. Water is pumped through these tubes as the fuel, coal or oil, is burned inside the box. The heat from the fire turns the water in the tubes into steam, massive amounts of steam. To put it very, very simply, that steam is motive power. It is oomph, so to speak. It needs somewhere to go and will push with all its might to get there. That somewhere is a steam turbine, which is basically a tunnel with a rotating shaft covered with propeller-like blades inside. The steam hits those blades, the pressure on the blades turns the shaft, and then the real magic happens. At the other end of that rotating shaft is a generator, which is a machine that exploits the amazing relationship between magnetism and electricity to convert the motive power of the steam into electric power. The resulting contraption provides power pretty much wherever and whenever it's needed. If you had money and land and water and could get the fuel there, you could probably build a coal or oil-fired power plant. No doubt about it, fossil fuel power plants are complex machines, creating a lot of jobs, a lot of tax revenue, and other economic benefits. White hats. But, and we now know that there is always a but, a lot of black and gray hats in the form of noise and water use and greenhouse gas and pollutants. Hydroelectric power, on the other hand, generally means dams, harnessing the energy of moving water to produce electricity, often in conjunction with flood control and irrigation schemes. Remember how the motive force of steam turns the shaft of the steam turbine and thus the generator to make electricity? In a hydroelectric plant, it's moving water, not steam, that provides the motive force, as water moves with gravity from a higher elevation to a lower elevation through a dam. White hats aplenty. No fossil fuels, no combustion, no pollution, no greenhouse gases. But also black and gray hats. As we know, all energy is compromised. Unlike fossil-fueled electricity generation, hydroelectric is quite location-specific, dependent on geography, geology, topography, hydrology, and competing priorities like flood control and agriculture. It also fundamentally alters and destroys landscapes, historic sites, habitats, and ecosystems, and often displaces communities. Not to mention the GHG that's produced in making the astounding quantities of concrete required for the dam itself. We're going to do a deep dive on GHG and concrete in a future episode. In the early days, before the 1950s basically, that electricity was expensive and mostly used to keep the lights on. And it was mostly an urban phenomenon. Rural electrification was slow at best. So from today's perspective, electrification, both in terms of access and end uses, was in its infancy, even in the US. But the die was cast, for better or worse. Hero, anti-hero, villain, anti-villain, black hat, gray hat, white hat, electricity was here to stay and get ever more embedded in our lives, our economies, and our societies. For the time being, fossil fuel and hydroelectric remained the power couple of, well, electric power. The industry evolved over time, of course. The reliability and efficiency of coal, oil, and hydropower generation improved, Plants kept getting bigger. Transmission networks were extended further and further out from urban centers. And the world kept requiring more and more electricity as that network extended and as economies and populations, for that matter, grew. Pretty much in lockstep with economic growth, in fact. Supply and demand dancing across the landscape. At the same time, electricity became the fuel of choice for more and more of our factories and buildings and stuff. The next big shift came with nuclear power, which became widespread in the 1970s and really took off in the 1980s. Greenhouse gas free, but of course with its own significant compromises. By 1990, natural gas was an up-and-coming, lower greenhouse gas and lower pollution fossil fuel on the grid. And renewables, primarily wind turbines and solar photovoltaic panels, started to take off in the early 2000s. Each fuel, each technology, bringing its own benefits and compromises, its own collection of white, black, and gray hats, even renewables. That's the very surface of the picture, a complex mosaic viewed at a distance. From that distance, coal is coal, gas is gas, nuclear is nuclear, solar is solar, and so on. The white hats are white, the black hats are black, and the gray hats are uniformly gray. And then the plot starts to thicken. Those hats start to blur together. In the next episode of Climate Changes Everything, we'll venture closer to the mosaic, both the generation of electricity and the system that turns that electricity, that raw electricity supply coming out of the generators, into the reliable, affordable, and safe electric service that we use to power our lives and our world. And hold on to your hats, we'll encounter the same necessary complexity that we saw in greenhouse gases themselves. With that, we're starting the winter holidays here in the U.S., and I want to wish you safety and happiness and peace wherever you are in the world. I'll see you after the holidays for another episode of Climate Changes Everything. Thanks for listening.